Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read beginning in the very first verse of this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you." I want us to look at verse 7 tonight, where I'll take my text. And a simple thought this evening. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are they that give mercy, for they shall receive mercy," is what the Bible says. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your many blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity we have tonight to study this wonderful passage of Scripture. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to learn from your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say. I understand my inability to make any difference in our lives. It is your word by your spirit that truly changes and transforms our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be attentive to the Spirit's work. And we love you. We thank you for all that you've done and will do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we find really the attitude of the coming millennial kingdom. And I think this passage of Scripture really shows for us it shows us the attitude of an individual when Jesus Christ is the king of their life. Because in the millennial reign, Jesus will be king. And so what we find in this passage of Scripture is the life of a Christian when Jesus is king in their life. I heard the story of a mother who once approached Napoleon asking for a pardon for her son. And the emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice and that justice demanded death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother replied. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. Happy are the ones that show mercy, the Bible says, for they shall receive mercy. Now, when we think about the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when we consider the life of Christ, no one really ever showed mercy to Jesus. And yet, when we think of his ministry is composed of mercy. So many times in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, we see Christ showing mercy. Now, the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are to be a people of mercy. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm glad today that God showed each of us mercy. You know, people say, "Well, I just want what I deserve." You don't want what you deserve, because we deserve hell. We deserve separation from God forever, for all eternity. And I'm glad that God showed us mercy. If you have pain or hurt in your life, you have a choice. You could choose mercy, or you could choose revenge. You could choose grace, or you could choose greed. The decision is up to you. I want to read this portion from a book that I was reading. One author had this to say about mercy. They said, "Do you have a hole in your heart? Perhaps the wound is old. A parent abused you. A teacher slighted you. A mate or a spouse betrayed you. A business partner bailed out, leaving you a choice of bills or bankruptcy. And you are angry. Or perhaps the wound is fresh. The friend who owes you money just drove by in a new car. The boss who hired you with promises of promotion has forgotten how to pronounce your name. Your circle of friends escaped on a weekend getaway and you weren't invited. The children you raised seem to have forgotten that you exist, and you are hurt. Part of you is broken and the other part is bitter. Part of you wants to cry and the other part of you wants to fight. The tears you cry are hot because they come from your heart, and there is a burning, a fire burning in your heart. It's the fire of anger. It's blazing. It's consuming. Its flames leap out under the steaming pot of revenge, and you are left with a decision. Do I put the fire out, or do I heat it up? Do I get over it, or do I get even? Do I release it, or do I resent it? Do I let hurts heal, or do I let hurts turn into hate?" There's a good definition of resentment, the author said. Resentment is when you let your hurts become hate. And maybe that's where you are tonight. Perhaps this is your place. You are in this place of pain. And you are nursing resentment in your life. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Happy are the ones that show mercy, for they will receive mercy." Let me give you some thoughts tonight and I'll be done. Number one, I want us to think about the practice of mercy. The practice of mercy. Now, as we search the scriptures, we find in the Bible many examples of mercy. We notice the example of mercy with Pharaoh's daughter. In Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive.' And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark of bulrushes and dapped it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And the sister stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags and sent her maid to fetch it, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother." It's really an incredible story of how God spared Moses' life. But also it's this incredible story, as we see Pharaoh's daughter had compassion and mercy on this Hebrew child. In Genesis chapter 15, we read about Abraham and mercy that he showed toward Lot. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19 that the Bible says that David was also a man of compassion and mercy. All through the Bible, there are these examples of mercy showers. There's examples of people who showed mercy and grace when there could have been resentment, there could have been pain, there could have been revenge, but instead of showing those things, they were merciful. And so we understand that God wants us to be merciful. Not only do we notice the practice of mercy, think about this. There's the pardon of mercy. The pardon of mercy. You know, mercy always pardons someone from pain. Mercy always pardons someone from pain. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. We cannot extend Christ's mercy to others until we have personally experienced that mercy in our own life. And the mercy of God is really an incredible truth. I mean, think about the thought of the mercy of God and the theology behind the mercy of God, that God so loved me and God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that I had a debt that I couldn't pay and that Jesus Christ paid that debt for me. He showed mercy on me. The mercy and the grace of God is really beyond human understanding how God could love us as sinners. We see his pardon or his mercy defined. I want you to turn with me in our Bibles to Titus chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says here in verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And let's think about for a moment his pardon defined. Titus, the third chapter, the fifth verse together. The Bible says this. Let's look at it together. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Justice demands one thing, but mercy demands another. His mercy, the mercy of God, it's not based on our own good works. Mercy is not based on what we do. We cannot work enough to get more mercy from God. It's not by works of righteousness, the Bible says, which we have done. God's mercy is freely given. And this is God's mercy defined. But think about this, if we could, his mercy illustrated. Let's look at the Gospel of John together. John chapter 8. And notice what the scripture says in verse number 1. The Gospel of John and the 8th chapter, John chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken or caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Now remember that the Pharisees, the scribes, they weren't looking for answers, they were looking for arguments. They wanted to try to trick Jesus. And so the Bible says in verse 6 that they were trying to tempt him, the Lord Jesus, and that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. So the story is simple. And a lot of people, they ask the question, what did Jesus write on the ground? My own personal opinion is that he was individually writing all of their sins. Because, and this is why I believe that, is because he wrote something on the ground, and the Bible says they were convicted in their own conscience. And then one by one, as Jesus was writing on the ground, they were leaving because I think that he was writing their own sins. And as they saw their own sin, their own guilty sins, they walked away. And so here's what Jesus said to this woman that was caught in adultery, that the law demanded that she be punished. So here's what the Bible says. Verse 7, and when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest and even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So the only one that's remaining now is the woman and the Lord Jesus. And look what the Bible says in verse 10. And Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now we find in this passage of Scripture, we find the Lord Jesus showing mercy. He is a merciful Lord. One of the most powerful passages of Scripture, one of the most powerful phrases in the Bible is when Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. This is just a wonderful display of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we notice the practice of mercy and the pardon in this mercy. But I want us to think about also, there's the power of mercy. The power of mercy. You know, in the days of the Roman Empire, anyone that displayed mercy, anyone that was merciful, was considered a weak person. And I think that in our society, we kind of see that if someone is a mercy shower or if anyone displays mercy, then they are weak. They're a weak person, that they wouldn't be a one that would condemn or show justice. But specifically in the Roman Empire, this was the case. If you were a mercy shower or if you showed mercy, you were considered a weak individual. In fact, in Rome, philosophers, they called mercy. Mercy was defined as a disease of the soul. So mercy itself was looked upon as something that was, you know, weak and a disease and something that was not helpful but harmful in the lives of people. But a person who shows mercy, the person who withholds their harsh comments, the person who forgives the debt, that refrains from gossip, according to God's economy, that person is not considered weak. That person is experiencing the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's something that's not natural for us to do. I don't know about you, but when we are hurt, we want revenge. Our flesh wants revenge. You know, when someone says something about us, we have that desire, well, I'll give them a piece of my mind. I'll tell them what I think, you know. I'll let them have it. That's our natural response. It's a spiritual response to be a mercy shower and to show mercy. 1 Peter chapter 2, would you turn there with me? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. The Bible says this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Now it's speaking here of the Lord Jesus, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. And this is living our life in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is living our life not by our flesh, but by the Holy Spirit's direction. And mercy is a part of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, the Bible says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, Jesus, before the cross, you know, and the Roman soldiers are coming to capture him, and Peter thinks that, you know, this is a political thing, not a spiritual thing, and he's going to fight back. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, don't you think that I could call angels from heaven and stop this immediately? This is not something, the cross, his death, it's not something that the Lord wanted to stop. He had to die on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And so we see the mercy of the Lord Jesus. We see his mercy on the cross. We see his mercy toward us. But also we see the mercy of the Lord Jesus in his ministry with the woman that was caught in adultery. We see his ministry, or his mercy with the woman at the well. And we see how Jesus, he acted in mercy and grace. I think about in John, when the Gospel of John was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and John is speaking about the very ministry of Jesus. And he said in John chapter 1, "We saw the God of heaven. We saw the living God." And it's like someone said, "Well, John, what was God like? Describe for me, what was God like when you walked with Jesus and you saw his ministry? What was God like?" And John said, "He was full of grace and truth." Grace and truth. He was a merciful God. He was a compassionate God. Now, the Pharisees, they wanted to throw the book at everyone. I mean, if you broke the law, you're guilty. You deserve to have judgment. But Jesus was compassionate, and he showed mercy. God, help us to be a people of mercy and to be merciful. Now, I understand that, you know, the mercy of God won't last forever, and that God's mercy does have a deadline, and that one day this world will be judged. But the Bible says, "Blessed, happy are those that show mercy, for they'll receive mercy." And I think all of us today want to receive mercy. We all want to receive mercy. I heard the story of a flight. It was L1011. It left Orlando for its early flight to Atlanta. And in this flight, everything seemed to be normal. The flight was primarily carrying professionals who were traveling for business. They were seasoned travelers. They were in airplanes a lot. But there were some other passengers that were making the trip as well. But none of them were really prepared for what was going to happen on this, what was supposed to be a routine flight. Just minutes after takeoff, the jet began to dip wildly. The pilot climbed higher to correct the problem, but it didn't help. He soon made an announcement that sent really the entire plane in panic. Their hydraulic system had failed, and that they would have to make an emergency landing back to Orlando. And that the pilot said that they had to embrace for impact, that it may be a crash landing. Fuel began rushing past the window as the crew ditched all but the necessary fluids. The captain had the cabin ready for a crash landing, and everyone knew that their lives might soon be over. Fear gripped even the most stoic of travelers. Some were hysterical, and others were trying to hold their fears inside. And amid the chaos and all the fear, there was this calm voice inside that airplane that day. And that calm voice was a mother talking to her little girl. A mother was looking into the eyes of her 4-year-old daughter who was making the flight and speaking words of assurance in a normal, conversational tone. With her daughter's attention, she continually said, "I love you so much. Do you know that I love you more than anything?" The little girl answered, "Yes, Mommy, I know." Before strapping her body over her daughter, she told the little girl, "And remember that no matter what happens, that I love you always, and you are a good girl, and sometimes things happen that are not your fault. You are still a good girl, and my love will always be with you." And then she readied herself for a crash landing. Now, fortunately, as the story reads, her body was not needed as a shield. For unknown reasons, the landing gear locked, the hydraulics worked, and the jet landed safely. A plane of thankful travelers walked away from the plain that day, knowing as they gazed into the very face of death. And yet there was one little girl that was carried off in the arms of a woman who had demonstrated this incomparable love that only a mother could have. And it's that love and that mercy that Jesus showed all of us tonight. If you know Christ as your Savior, then Jesus in mercy went to Calvary and he placed himself there on our behalf. I don't think theologically we can comprehend. We think that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying as if great drops of blood were flowing from his face, that, you know, we think, well, he was praying because he didn't want to go to a cross. And nobody wants to die at the age of 33. That he was in that garden and he was crying out to his Father because he knew, being God, that he was going to face the agony of the Roman cross, that the Romans wouldn't even crucify their own. I mean, the Bible teaches us in the book of Philippians that Jesus didn't just die. It wasn't that he humbled himself in death, but he also humbled himself in the way that he died, by going to a Roman cross. And we think that Jesus is in agony because of the fact that he was going to suffer the cross. But there was far more to that. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was because the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, was going to become the sin of the world on that cross that day. And we cannot imagine the agony that he experienced as even his own Father turned away. All that he experienced, the Bible says that he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. The mercy that he showed to us, his enemies, is incomparable. And the Bible teaches us that if we want to be Christ-like, then we're going to have to be mercy showers. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Christ tells us that he loved us so much that he gave himself, like that mother who gave herself to protect her child, he gave himself so that we could have eternal life. So what's happening in your heart tonight? What resentment or what bitterness has potential to spring up? What are you harboring in your heart? Where do you need to show mercy? Where do you need to be a mercy shower today? If we want mercy, the Bible says we need to show mercy. And happy is the one who shows mercy. I hope today that we will be that person of mercy today. I hope today that we will show mercy to those in our world. You probably experienced this in your life. You know, you're at a restaurant or a store and someone's losing their temper. And my brother-in-law was telling me, Josh Mee was telling me that he was in a Goodwill and there was a man who came to the till and he was mad. He was mad because he had a leather jacket that he thought was priced too high. And this man, I mean, he was losing his temper with everybody in the store. And this poor teenager was the cashier, and he was screaming and hollering at this teenager, and she's like, I don't make the prices. And my brother-in-law said, I looked at the man, he said, this is a Goodwill. Like, show some goodwill. And, you know, it's easy for us to lose control and to get angry and to get mad at all the events that come into our life. But God help us to be like the Lord and to calm down. And instead of picking up stones and throwing them at people, why don't we show mercy and be merciful be like Jesus. Because there's going to come a time in our life, listen to me, there's going to come a time in our life where we're going to want the same courtesy shown to us. We're going to want mercy shown to us. And the Bible says, Jesus said, happy is the one that shows mercy. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity.